Welcome to another edition of Bible Truths. If you would, open up your Bibles and turn this time to the Old Testament and 1 Kings chapter 12. We'll begin there in just a moment. A lot of times you've probably heard in your daily lives when you talk to people about the Bible or even about church in general, you'll hear people say, one church is as good as another, or it doesn't matter what church you go to, we all worship the same God. But is that really true? Can you just go to any church that's out there, any denomination, and still be worshiping the one true God? That's what we want to look at this morning. Going back into 1 Kings chapter 12, let's read the passage from verses 25 through 33. This is the story of Jeroboam. Starting at verse 25, it says, then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim, and dwelt there. Also he went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up and offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to the Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore the king asked advice, made two calves of gold, and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. And he set up one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship because before the one as far as Dan. He made shrines on the high places, and made priests from every class of people who were not the sons of Levi. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did that at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made, and at Bethel he installed the priests and made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had devised in his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar and burnt incense. Now the question we have to ask is, how did they get to this point? Well, to look at that answer, we have to go back a chapter or so to look at what happened prior to this. Going back to 1 Kings chapter 11, we'll not look at the whole passage, but we'll just look at some of the various points. When Solomon was king, Jeroboam was promised rulership of the 10 tribes while Solomon yet lived, and he would prosper if he was faithful to God's law. But when Solomon died, it was his son Rehoboam who reigned in his stead. And the people asked Rehoboam if they would lighten the yoke that Solomon had put upon them, and Rehoboam refused, saying that he was going to increase it instead. And so those 10 tribes revolted, and they followed Jeroboam. And Jeroboam was not content to trust God's promise by keeping the law, but chose instead to modify it to suit his own purposes. So we're going to look a little closer at the passage in 1 Kings chapter 12, breaking it down verse by verse. Let's look at the source of this. Is called Jeroboam's religion. Look at verses 26 and 27. It says, and Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to David, the house of David, if these people go up and offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of the people will turn back to the Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to the Rehoboam, king of Judah. It was by human wisdom that Jeroboam invented this religion. From Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26, it says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Paul writes in the New Testament in Acts chapter 26 and verse 9, says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And again, Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And this is Jeroboam's reasoning. It was in his heart that he decided to do these things, to create this religion for the people, to make sure that they did not return to Jerusalem. The next thing we want to look at is the motive for this religion. And that can be found in verse 28. It was a matter of convenience. Jeroboam said to the people, it is too far, much too far for you to go up to Jerusalem. So here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. He devised by putting them in Bethel and Dan to make it more convenient for the people to be able to worship them instead of going all the way up to Jerusalem. But we need to do the right thing, as stated in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, and again in chapter 4 and verse 5. We must endure hardship to do the right thing. Next thing we want to look at is the focus of this religion. The focus can be found in verse 28. Again, looking at it, where it says, therefore the king asked advice, made two calves of gold, and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. It was tied to Moses, of course, based on the golden calf that was made back before the law of commandments were given to the people of Israel. But let's go back to the book of Exodus and look at what the law actually states. In Exodus chapter 20, look at verses 3 through 5. It says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to those thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. The false teaching that is used then even is appealed to us now. Going into the New Testament, to Acts chapter 20, look at verses 28 through 30. In Acts chapter 20, Paul warns the church there in regards to this. It says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock amongst which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. What he's stating is that even the men of the congregation there, once Paul is gone, that they themselves will turn the hearts of the congregation to the things not according to scriptures. And looking at the book of Jude in verse 4, it says, for there are certain men crept in privily, even they who were of old written of beforehand, unto this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Our false teachers contrive things in the same way now, and they make more palatable by giving it to be the appearance of truth. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, starting with verse 13. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. The teachers and hearers of this need to consider what is written in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, which says, For do I now persuade men or God? This is Paul writing. Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So as you see, Jeroboam's desires to do what he believed to be the true religion was basically to desire to please men by keeping them there in the area rather than allowing them to go up to Jerusalem. Now, let's go back to our text again. We want to look again at the text, and we want to look at verses 29 and 30 in regards to the religion of Jeroboam, and that is of the location of the religion. Look at verses 29 and 30. It says that he set up one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. Now, what does the law say in regards to this? We back up a couple of verses in the chapter 11. 1 Kings 11, look at verse 13. It says, "However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen." And here it shows that it was Jerusalem that was chosen as the location for worship. Also down in verse 32, it also says, "But he shall have one tribe for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel." And again in verse 36, it says, "And to his son I will give one tribe, that my servant David may also have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen for myself to put my name there." So in these three verses, you can see that it was the city of Jerusalem that was chosen as a place of worship and not what Jeroboam picked for that of Dan and Bethel. Today, as we've said before, some people say it doesn't matter which church you go to. What we have seen thus far, it does make a difference where you go to worship. And we look at what the church actually is, going to the New Testament, into the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verses 22 and 23. It says, this is referring to God, he says that he put all things under his feet, that's Jesus' feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The body of Christ is the church, and he is the head of the church. Looking over at chapter 4 of Ephesians, look at verses 4 and 5. It says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism." This shows that there is indeed only one church, because there is only one body of Christ and one faith. The next thing we want to look at in regards to the religion of Jeroboam is the priests. Turning back to our text in 1 Kings chapter 12, this time we look at verse 31. And it says, "He made shrines on the high places and made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi." Well, let's look and see what the law says in regards to who were the priests. Turning to the book of Numbers in chapter 18, we look at the first two verses. Numbers 18, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Then the Lord said to Aaron, 'You and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear the iniquity related to the sanctuary, and you and your sons with you shall bear the iniquity associated with your priesthood. Also bring with you your brethren of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that ye may be joined with you and serve you, while you and your sons with you before the tabernacle of witness.'" And here it shows that it was the tribe of Levi that was personally chosen by God to serve as his priest. It was not of any other individual. Let's look at another example in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, "God, who spoke at times and in various ways, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, from whom he had made the worlds." That shows, as we stated, that it was the priests, the sons of Levi, were made the priests for the Old Testament. And under the new law, the New Testament, God chose his Son to be the priest. Okay. Today we have just one high priest, and that's based on the order of Melchizedek. Staying in the book of Hebrews, let's turn to chapter 5 this time, looking at the first six verses. It says, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also the subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man take his honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So we have one high priest today, which is that of Jesus Christ, based on the order of Melchizedek. So we are also considered priests. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, but ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that ye may show forth the excellency of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, this does not mean that we can give ourselves titles such as reverend or pastor. We're not considered priests in that matter. All it means is we have access to God, that we can pray to him and do not have to have anybody speak to him on our behalf. Going back to our text now, 1 Kings chapter 12, let us look at the feast day or the day of worship. Looking at verse 32. It says, Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar, so that he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel he installed the priests of the high place which he had made. And that says the 15th day of the 8th month. But what does the law say in regards to this? Leviticus chapter 23, looking at verses 33 and 34. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. Now here we say it's the 15th day of the 7th month. Now some of you out there may say, well, what's the difference between one month or another? That's the same thing as saying today that we could go to worship service on Saturday evening and not have to worry about the Sunday service, or have the Lord's Supper on Tuesday or Wednesday night. But in the New Testament, it's stated it's the first day of the week for the worship of the Lord and taking of the Lord's Supper, which comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, and again in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. It was a day that was chosen by God for us to assemble for worship. Just as the feast day was created on the 15th day of the 7th month, as opposed to what Jeroboam says in picking the 8th month. So it does make a difference. Here's another example. Perhaps, maybe for this year, you want to celebrate Independence Day on the 3rd of July, whereas it is actually the 4th of July. Does one day really make a difference? In actuality, it does, because everybody else will be celebrating on the 4th, whereas you will be celebrating one day before. It does make a difference. Okay, turning back to our text once again, 1 Kings. This time let's move to chapter 13, looking at the first five verses, and we see the end result of what happens after the religion of Jeroboam was established. 1 Kings chapter 13, starting with verse 1. It says, and behold, the man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, the child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. So it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard this saying of the man of God, who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him. Then his hand, which he stretched out toward him, withered, so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. So here, as you see, it was a condemnation to the religion of Jeroboam because it did not approve of God. Going ahead to 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 18, we look at what happens to the people. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 18, it says, "Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone." And so these people were carried away into captivity. Moving ahead to the New Testament, let's finish out looking at Matthew 13 first. Matthew chapter 13, look at verses 41 through 43. It says, "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom and all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So if you're not worshiping God according to the scriptures, you will be cast out into the eternal fires of hell. Jeroboam started with changing the place of the worship, adding the two calves of gold, a different feast, and even appointed unqualified priests. The people were eventually carried away into captivity. False religions do the exact same thing today. When they stray from the path of God, it always leads downhill. Let's finish out this morning with 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting with verse 13. It says, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Basically, those who have turned their hearts and minds away from God will continue to be allowed to do so and will not be able to return to do what is right. What then is the antidote for this wickedness of Jeroboam's religion? Looking at the next few verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, starting at verse 14, it says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." This shows that it's the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone give us everything that we need to do what is right if we will just abide by them. In conclusion today, we ask that you do not go beyond what is written in the Scriptures, and that's stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 by the Apostle Paul. And we're all supposed to speak the same thing, again from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. So that concludes our lesson for today. I hope you enjoyed our lesson and you have learned something to do what is right by God's Word, and we pray that you will travel the narrow path. The commandments are embraced in God's will. You got to remember that you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as stated in John chapter 6 and verse 40. You need to repent of your sins, as stated in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. You need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as stated in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. You need to be baptized into the faith, and baptism in water, as stated in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. And you need to live faithfully even unto death, as stated in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. I hope this lesson has benefited you, and I hope you will be able to do what is right according to God's Word and God's Word alone.
I thank you very much for your time. We ask that you will join us at the A Street Church of Christ and worship with us on Sundays. Until next time, I bid you a good day.